The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they're fun, they're funny, they're entertaining, they're interesting, and we should enjoy them and smile every once in a while. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, as we often say, hopefully before this intro is over, especially because I've already messed it up like four times. If he wants to come back now, that's fine. Life lessons for our faith we can actually use, probably won't. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't really care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process. That element right there. Not on the twice a week we go to church on Sunday and some life group throughout the week, but on an everyday 365, 24/7 basis, being people who identify as Christians. Many people are optimistic. They see things from a positive spin. People are pessimistic. They see things from a negative spin. We're Christians. We see things through a Jesus spin. That's our goal. That's what we want to be. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we encourage you to reach out to us. Don't let it die of loneliness. Just give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call that number, the 972-445-0770, Terrific T will answer the phone. You know what that's like? That's like playing video poker and getting four aces dealt to you. Yay! Come on! Even if you don't play video poker, you got to think, that's pretty good. That's not bad. Here's the other part about that. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. While I say that, I'll go right to it and remind you about our website, which is the place where you can give if the Lord so leads you. Don't forget about hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now we give you those three ways to reach out to us. So there is the opportunity to call in. You can text in. You can email in. You can send us a paper airplane. We just don't think it will get here all the way from where you're throwing it. Or you can shout really loud, but I am in an inner studio in an inner building, so I'm not sure I'm going to get that either. Here's the bottom line. If you have something you want to share, something the Lord's working on in your life, something the Lord's teaching you, or perhaps you have a praise report or a prayer request, and as we do later on, we also do Bible trivia. Any of those things are great reasons to call, and we encourage you to do so. Because our goal here is to encourage one another as we see the day getting closer. Some people think, well, it's been such a long time, Dave. It's been such a long time. Well, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So right now you're looking at 2 days. Okay? That's one way to look at it from the resurrection point. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about the book of Acts. In this hour, we're going to be doing our read and ramble. But I do want to give you a little bit of an encouragement, just something that happened to me. Two quick things. One, I want to thank everybody for praying for me for my ankle. It is doing so much better. In 24 hours, the swelling's more than halfway down. I can walk on it. I can't go to the gym yet, but, you know. I feel good. I feel good, and that's kind of the important part. So I'm really happy about that. So thank you for your prayers. Oh, one other thing I do want to throw in there real quickly. I did get my final grade this morning for my last class. I did get a 97.3%. So I got an A, so I'm pretty happy about that. That's seven PhD classes, seven A's. Woo! Now if I just got to get through three more, and then the project. And I really want to do real well on the last three because the project is where it all gets into the trenches. You know, it's like, and I mean, it's a big project. It's going to take like 7 months. All right. Anyway, that's that. That's that. Here's the last thing I want to tell you. I want to confess sin. So today I was praying, and I pray every day. I pray for you guys every day. I pray for me every day, the family every day. I pray for everybody here at the station. I pray for everybody involved in the radio process and people that hear it and people that help produce it and everything along those lines. And then I was praying about something because I had reached out to somebody from my past, and I just was looking to hear from them. And so what I did was while I was praying, everything was fine and nothing was abnormal. While I was praying, I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, if this person can just respond this way, then I'll interpret that to mean this. And what I did was, it wasn't even a fleece. It wasn't even me seeking a sign. It was like, as soon as I said it, I said, wow, that's a lot of manipulation, huh? Like me saying to God, if you do this, then I'll take it this way. When in my heart, I just wanted the person to get back to me. And then I was just trying to manipulate God. And I knew it. And I thought, okay, I take that back. I just when you're praying and you're talking to the Lord, I've got to do this. This is just one of the most important elements. When I first became a Christian, I didn't have too many church teachings. You know, I had a Bible, and I just believed that if it was in that book, that God meant it to be in that book. I didn't really think much about it. But one of the things that I learned or developed as I grew in the Lord before I was church, before anything else, was I learned that when you pray, the most important part about prayer in talking with God in whatever form you do, whether you're quiet and share your inner heart, whether you're just in his presence, whether you're talking and addressing an issue for other people, which we always seem to have more faith when we're praying for other people, one of those weird things, right? Well, probably not so weird. But when you're praying and when you're doing it, when you're coming before the Lord, the most important element of that prayer time, can I just tell you this? I mean, we'll do read and ramble in the next segment. The most important thing is to be honest. Okay, when you get before the Lord, there is a critical element that takes place. You in some ways, when we pray things that are manipulative or that we're trying to control and get God to do it for us, that part right there, that's well known to God, and it's a part of us deceiving ourselves trying to sanctify what we're trying to get done. And what I mean by that is this. There's nothing wrong with petitioning God and asking for things. There never is. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it unless you're asking for something that's sinful or something you're just going to consume with your flesh. Okay? And James deals with that and says you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. Okay? Got that. But sometimes we'll say something and offer it to God and offer some. When if you do this, Lord, it's almost like a bargaining tool. Or if you answer this, or if I can get an affirmation here, or if I can get some confirmation here, or something that comes from you here that I know that you're hearing me and you're going to do what I'm saying, well, by golly, then I'll. And that's us trying to twist or sanctify our thing before the Lord and get him to bless it. And I want to be forward with you. That's not being very honest in prayer. When we come before the Lord, we should tell him, boy, I want to manipulate you in this. I want that, but I know I can't do that, and I know I have to surrender it to you. Because he knows that inside you anyway. And I think it's important for us to recognize he knows every nuance, every feeling. There is no hidden corner in your life when you're in prayer and God is before you and you're praying. You pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. You pray in the name of Jesus Christ, coming in the authority and the representation of Jesus Christ, and you're making your petition known, and you know Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and he's interceding for you. There is not one nook or cranny that is hidden from God. So pray that way. Just tell God, yeah, if I could get this, you know, I think I would feel this way. I'm not even sure. I just think I would. So I'm telling you that because I want you to know I'm trying to be honest before you and not be kind of, you know, manipulative. There's nothing wrong with praying and asking God for things. There's everything wrong with trying to sanctify and couch it in something. Just say, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm trying to get done. I probably don't even know the right way to do it. Maybe you could just take over. I surrender this to you. And then just leave it there. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to add words to it. You don't have to add anything to it. Just be honest. When I told the Lord that when he gave me my deliverance, I didn't find anything on the earth better than what I was doing, but I wanted to do better because he wanted me to do better. He heard that prayer. He knew it was honest. He answered, and I was free. And that was it. Get it? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a whole hearty welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you, a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready to do our first trivia question. And then Steve from the show, one of our listeners, had a really good add-in point that I'm going to bring up in a second. We'll get to that in just a split second. But here's the first trivia question. When children laughed at Elisha, okay, we're doing amazing animals, by the way. Should have said that, right? Okay, these trivia questions are about animals. Okay, so sorry. Okay, when children laughed at Elisha for his baldness, what appeared that mauled the children? Now, this is according to 2 Kings chapter 2. What appeared, okay, that what appeared and mauled the children? When the children laughed at Elisha, not Elijah, Elisha, for his baldness, what appeared that mauled the children? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Either of those will work, and I'll give you the opportunity. So what was the response? What was the animal that responded when the children mocked Elisha for being bald, which, you know, I don't have any hair. I cut my hair off, but I mean, I just figure I might as well do it now because in 10 years from now, there'll be 3 or 4 strips like bristles on a toothbrush. I figured that probably doesn't look good. Okay, so. All right, let me add in real quickly. Steve just brought up an important point he wanted to add in, and I appreciate that when people do this. So he mentions that humility is this other important aspect, and I think that that's a rare insight, and there's a great book called Humility, by the way. I don't know if anybody's read it. It's very, very deep and wonderful book. But when you are praying, there is this recognition that you and I, we are nothing, and that God is all and everything. And in fact, if it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't even be able to pray. There'd be nothing. And so the bottom line to that process is to make sure to have humility as a part of what you do. Now, that does not eliminate the opportunity to come to God as a dad. It just means, and it's important to understand that this, at different times, you approach God in different ways. But in all of those elements, there is a respect, an appreciation, and understanding of who you're dealing with. If we saw God create the universe, we'd probably speak a lot less and probably just say, "Yes, sir," a lot more. That's just kind of a reality check. Okay, and I appreciate Steve for doing that, okay? And he's, you know, there's, like I said, there's this fantastic book. I just read it. Was it this? Oh, I guess it was this last class, a book on humility, but the author, his name escapes me. It was back done in like the 1800s. I can't remember if it was Andrew Murray or not. Anyhow, the children laughed at Elijah for his baldness. What animal appeared to maul them? If you think you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. Since I went on my soapbox on prayer, we got to do Read and Ramble because I missed Read and Ramble completely because I got on the soapbox about prayer. So let's do that real quickly. Let's have our Read and Ramble sound.
Well, I'm ramming.
See, I think if you listen to that, then you just – first of all, if you don't go at the end, if you don't go blin, then there's something wrong. That's what I think. Yeah, you got to finish it.
Ramblin.
You just got to do that. I don't know what it is. All right, here's Colossians chapter 2. This is a classic. This is we're picking this up. I think it is in verse 11. It says, "In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature with the circumcision performed by Christ and not by human hands." Okay? I want to read that again because I don't want anybody to miss it. Okay? "In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature with the circumcision performed by Christ and not by human hands." Let me just make everybody aware, I was born and raised Jewish, and I understand what circumcision is, and my children understand what circumcision is, and my grandchildren understand what circumcision is, and that's fine and dandy. But the best best rabbi to do the best circumcision is Rabbi Jesus. Now, you don't call him Rabbi Jesus very often, although we probably ought to some degree. Here's the bottom line. The circumcision that Jesus does in our lives has to do with our sinful nature. So in essence, or just understanding it in its most practical approach, circumcision is, by definition, the cutting off of the extra flesh in the most sacred area of a man. What Jesus does is cuts out the flesh, the excess flesh that's in our life, in our most secret, private places of life that work through our system in the old nature. And what he does is he doesn't do the circumcision by hands, not by, done by human hands. This is a circumcision that takes place by God. And I want to explain something about this. This is why it seems like if you are a flower for God, that he cuts you back or prunes you every so often so that you'll grow stronger and grow better and grow with more production of fruit. The Lord works in our lives and he identifies for us and helps us to fight against excess flesh. Now, by position, that flesh has already lost. But in practicality, we must use the sanctification process and put that flesh to rest. God has judicially announced you one way and now is making you practically reflect that way he has pronounced you. And so in your life, you notice, and I don't know if you notice this or not, but you can't get away with what other people get away with who are not Christians, because the Holy Spirit in your life is going, you can't do that. Oh, that was wrong. That lie is not okay. That little sleight of hand is not a good idea. Thinking about somebody in those terms is not right. Wishing somebody would disappear off the face of the earth is not very Christ-like. You see that? That's the Holy Spirit cutting in on our flesh that we keep secretly protected and going, and the Lord's like going, yeah, you got to get rid of that. You have to get rid of that. And the struggle that some people have is, well, how can it be that we still have that flesh in us when we have the position of justification? And the answer to that is quite simple. It's the same reason why we still die. We die as a result of the law. Oh, well, we've been redeemed for the law, so then we shouldn't die. Ah, there's a difference between positional and practical, and the death we now die is not a final death. We find that out. So we find out that there is position, there is practical, and there is this reality check that Jesus, although sometimes with a scalpel, and I think other times with a really, really big sword, comes into our life and goes, chop, 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 chop. Or cuts something out and says, too much of you, too much of flesh, too much old nature, too much Adam and Eve, too much blaming others, too much not taking personal responsibility, or even what we talked about before, too dishonest in prayer, not enough humility in prayer, not enough right spirit going on around here. Remember what Jesus said to James and John? You know not what manner of spirit you are. And those are guys that hung out with Jesus. So there's this point where we have to recognize we have spiritual surgery taking place on us on a regular basis. That sinful nature is being circumcised by Jesus Christ. And you can always tell how the progress is going, because the closer that Jesus gets to eliminating those biggest of sins that you have that nobody knows about, the more you're reflecting Jesus Christ. The more defensive your flesh gets, but the more Christ you reflect. I had a pastor once tell me, great, great analogy. Your flesh is like a junkyard dog. I thought, okay, this better be a good one, right? A junkyard dog does a lot of barking, right? They're kind of gnarly, like kind of dogs, right? If you don't feed them, instead of them being quieter, they get louder and they get more obnoxious, and they sound like they're even more ferocious. Rah, 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 rah. But the truth is they're weaker from not eating. How they manifest that weakness is by sounding more ferocious. That's much like our flesh. You don't feed it. It sounds like it's really loud and strong, but it's actually weakened, and by the cross it has been crucified. Do you get that? It's just a cool analogy, and Paul's like going, look, you're being circumcised. You've been circumcised. You're going to keep being circumcised by a circumcision that's got nothing to do with people and nothing to do with hands and nothing to do with any of that. It's Jesus Christ who's performing this circumcision in you, and it's reflecting him more and more, and it's to the glory of God. So if you ever get snipped as a branch because you're being cut back, that's the same process we're talking about. Get that? That's what the Lord does to make us look like Jesus. So instead of being bummed out that the Lord's going to put you through that, recognize there's a purpose to that and rejoice in that. All right? Okay. Well, trivia question. When children laughed at Elijah for his baldness, what animals appeared and mauled the children? The answer is two she-bears appeared and mauled the kids. Quick quote. They mauled the kids. It does not say they killed the kids. That's incorrect. That's not even what the word means. But they gave them a pretty good beating. The bears gave them a pretty good beating. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 24. We can argue the merits on that some other time, but we're not going to right now. You are going to take a break with me. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
And everything we find is the hungry giant.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da, da, da. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve! There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.